if you're tired and fatigued coming off after a game and someone is using threatening language at you, that is just not acceptable. Mm. And you must, as a referee, take action against it.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name's Darren Cullum. This is a weekly podcast, which generally you can download every Friday from refereesworld.co.uk or your podcast provider. I'm affiliated with the Somerset FA. My compatriot is sat some 3,000 miles away from me right now in the luxury of his apartment in Dubai. Richard Mellon from UAE FA, who is the technical manager referees. Rich, we're piling into well over 100 episodes of the Referees World podcast now, which is delightful to see, and lots of people from all over the world continuing to listen, enjoy and learn.
Yeah, I mean, what we talk about doesn't necessarily suit everybody's taste, but it will get them thinking. Mm. And that's the whole point of this thing, education and learning. If we talk about something that somebody disagrees with, I don't mind. Mm. But if it gets them thinking and it helps their performance improve the next game that they do and beyond that, then, you know, mission accomplished.
And you're always welcome to get in touch with us. You can follow us on Twitter at Referees World. Get in touch through the website, refereesworld.co.uk. Now, Rich, I'd like to mention and talk to you about a situation I had last week. Last week being the 2nd of January. It was, no, 3rd of January. It was a bank holiday Monday here in the UK. I think you were sat in isolation back home after a visit to the UK for the Christmas break. But yeah. I had a fairly challenging game on a bank holiday Monday afternoon where the pitch was quite heavy. It was two teams that like to play competitive, challenging football. And I tried to manage the game because I knew the kind of game it was going to be. I tried to manage it as much as I could. OK, it did get choppy. It did get a little bit temperamental. And then after 10 minutes, I had to pull both captains aside and said, look, guys, I've tried to manage this as much as I can. You're not playing ball. You're not communicating with me. You're not passing the messages down through the players. So I'm now going to deal with this myself. Shortly after that, a challenge came flying in from the home team forward. Okay, who was in green, both feet off the ground, jumped in, stud showing. I was right in front of it, and I was in one of those decisions where I had my little bit of thinking time because I was doing that thing where you walk backwards and asking the player to come towards you, and that gave me the little bit of thinking time I needed. Is this red or is this a yellow? Is this red? Is this yellow? And I had that going around in my head. It was a long 5 seconds, I can tell you. I stood tall and I was brave and I gave him the red card. I could have given him a yellow to manage it. But I felt, no, he can't do that because if the next player comes in and does it and he actually makes contact with an opponent, there's going to be a serious injury. Anyway, I want to talk about what was said. I'm going to use some really, really harsh language here. I will bleep out. Okay. One of the
can
words.
Let me ask you a question. By the description that you gave me of the challenge, it was a red card.
Yes.
I'd already decided that by the description that you gave me.
Yeah.
He jumped in out of control with 2 feet.
Yeah.
That is not acceptable at any level of football. And if any referee is involved in that, recognising that type of challenge, please make sure it's a red card and nothing less. Nothing less. Mm. Okay, so on to this, the verbals that were given to you. Shall I call it banter or offensive language?
Oh, certainly not banter. Certainly not banter. That's the situation. But so when I pulled him over and I showed him the red card, the first words were an F-bomb, you can F off, you're absolute effing disgrace. And then as he turned around and walked away, he stopped and then came back towards me again, pointed his finger at me and said, you are a disgraceful C-bomb.
And I thought, okay. You've said enough.
Yeah.
And I want to make sure, have you got every piece of that into your report?
Oh, absolutely. The whole lot. Yeah.
Okay. As a referee, let me say to you, I've heard over the years referees are disgruntled at what the county FAs do as a disciplinary committee, and they say, oh, he only got banned one game. Well, hang on a minute, don't blame the county FA if he only got one game. Mm. They are working on the words and the written report that you have submitted as a referee. If you are not putting in an accurate description of what was said and what was done and the threat that you felt it was to you, they will only take the appropriate action on what you are putting into the text.
Can I read you my report? Can I read you what I wrote down?
How long is it? I don't want it to be too boring for the listeners.
No. It's no, it was my description because, you know, I went onto MOAS and I had to do what I had to do. And on MOAS, for those that haven't done it before, you fill out what you need to fill out, and then you get the.
There will be colleagues out there that don't use MOAS now.
Yes.
So
yeah.
Match officials appointment system is MOAS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. So I wrote. This is what I wrote.
Go.
This was a challenging and competitive game from the start, which I tried to manage where possible. After approximately 18 minutes, the above-named player challenged for the ball by way of a two-footed tackle with both feet off the ground and studs showing. If any contact had been made with his opponent, there was potential for quite a serious injury. I was approximately 5 to 6 yards away from play, and I had a clear view of the challenge. I stopped the game and dismissed Mr. Blah 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 for serious foul play. The player's response was to walk towards me, pointing his finger and shouting in an aggressive manner, F off, you prick, you are a disgraceful C-bomb. I then restarted the game with a free kick to the away team. So that was what I wrote.
Okay. There's two issues here that you've labelled, and I hope... With the way in which you've written that report, the County FA will see two charges.
Mm-hmm.
One for the violent conduct, serious foul play, sorry, I think you called it, didn't you?
Yeah,
serious foul play, the bad challenge, two-footed challenge, etc., etc. To say that it was potential for a serious injury is a good description, but you need to have the word potential in there. Maybe I'm being picky.
Mm.
But if the tackle had been made, it's almost going to cause a life-threatening injury to that player. You know, the pace, a challenge with excessive force is something that is in the game every now and again. And so consequently, when we see it, it's something that we got to take the right action upon. And so there will be a charge for that. And the other one is for the offensive, insulting, abusive language.
Which continued after the game, which is the other part that I want to get onto in just a moment. But that certainly quietened things down for the rest of the second half.
Mm.
But what frustrates me is when a player gets up and says, well, I didn't, I got the ball, ref. That was it. I got the ball, ref. Yet you may have got the ball, right? But it's the way in which you got the ball that's the problem.
If
you had made contact with that opposing player, you'd have taken his legs right off.
That's what cannot be accepted. I agree. Football is a physical game. It's a contact game. That's what the game has been built upon. But there has to be the line drawn as regards what is accepted as a foul challenge, reckless challenge, or a challenge with excessive force. You know, and so consequently, as referees, that's what comes under our skill sets as regards recognition and interpretation. Don't go out there and listen to a player. Oh, that's my first one. Oh, all right, then I'll let you off.
Mm.
That's the wrong approach. If that tackle is his first one and it's worthy of a yellow card because it's totally reckless, yellow card him.
Yeah.
If it's a first challenge in the game and it's dog-so or it's serious foul play, do not give management to that. That is a red card offence. Mm. The fact that you put in your report that you tried to manage for the first part of the game is irrelevant to the panel, of the disciplinary panel. They're not worried about the strategy of how you went about your game. They are interested in the facts of what the player did.
Yeah.
So consequently, what the player did, how you described it, how you saw it, and how you reacted is what they will take the action upon. You know, and I would just go back. Let's talk about your game strategy as regards why did you try to sort of manage so much and then you said in the 10th minute, wow, that game almost kicked off like a firecracker from the start by the sounds of it.
It did. It was a very challenging game, and it was high tempo for the whole game, and some excellent football being played. Can't fault it.
Yeah, the high tempo of a game is great when it's a game of football, but if it's a high tempo game with niggling, nasty challenges, that's when you got to kill it, and you got to stop the game at every half foul until they stop that niggling, threatening behavior in a challenge. And it may not feel comfortable as a referee, but that's you've got to
and
be
that's
mentally
what I
strong
didn't do.
And stop it.
Yeah, I didn't. I admit, because it was my first game back after the Christmas break. I'd had a few weeks out of it because of bad weather and Christmas and all the rest of it. So ring rusty is probably the phrase I would use.
I would say you were still out a few mince pies on board.
Yeah, well, there's probably that as well, to be fair. And I get that, and I could have been sharper, because I know that I have been a lot sharper than that in previous games. So, you know, that's why I felt that, you know, I need to nip it in the bud. I should have nipped it in the bud right from the start, but I didn't. I tried to manage it a bit, and that was the outcome. And as you've said many times before, if you don't nip it in the bud, it can affect your game management for the rest of your game.
Yeah.
And then this goes back down to protecting your own profile, because let me just go back to what else happened, what else I had to report. So at the halftime, as we're going towards the changing rooms, the manager came over and said, look, what was that for, by the way? And I explained what it was, because they couldn't see that it was two-footed because the play was going away from them. And I was right in front of it. So he said, fair enough, don't have a problem with that. You know, if that's what's happened, that's what's happened. After the game, the same player, as I got down to the changing rooms, was stood outside holding his small child. And there was a number of club officials there. There was a number of supporters there as well. And then he started to berate me right in front of everybody. Referee, you're an effing disgrace. You should never effing this, effing that, this, that and the other. While I was getting my boots off. And it was quite an intimidating situation. And I got my boots off. And I responded by saying, if you have a problem with what's happened today, then please feel free to appeal. And I sort of left it at that. But his language at me afterwards in a threatening behaviour. So I put that down. Going back to Moas again, I put that down as one of those extraordinary reports that you do.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. That's so, the one. Well done, though.
So well done. I've done that, and went and got myself sorted out, changed, and then, I left. But, so that's kind of, that was my that first, was, that was my that was, first game into, as a referee, that is, as opposed to an assistant, as my first game of 2022.
Yeah, that was it was a challenging game by the sounds of it. And, you know, the way in which you described it, the way in which you reacted appears to be the right way in which to do it. If, like I say, going back over it, and you've already done that before we had our chat, is that you will take a different approach in the first 10 minutes if you feel that is going to be that type of game ever again. You know, and you can never say never. You just don't know what type of game two teams are going to produce. Mm. You might even go up and, let's say, do the return fixture at the red team. Oh, no, blue team, sorry, you said, didn't you? Blue versus greens. It might be, you know, you do a return fixture at the away team when they play at home. So, you know, it's something that you learn from, and that's the most important thing. It's something that will get under your skin, because you know, something, it's something that you are proud about, and you know, if you're tired and fatigued coming off after a game and someone is using threatening language at you, that is just not acceptable. And you must, as a referee, take action against it, and don't stop short when you get home and say, it wasn't as bad as what I probably thought at the time. You remember those thoughts when that player is delivering that message to you of he's dissatisfied. If he's dissatisfied, just make sure that you chuck the book at him in the most positive way possible, and allow the County FA to impose the correct sanction for the right level of time. And by the way in which you've described it, let's go back to the first part of it. It was a nasty challenge, which was worthy of a red card. So there's part one.
Yeah.
Part two is the foul and abusive language and offensive language that he used on the pitch before he left. So that's two charges. And his third charge, which now comes under extraordinary report, was the third occasion when he used awful language to you in front of children and other people.
Yeah.
Just because he had an audience, maybe he felt fired up.
Yeah.
But that is not acceptable. And, you know, that's when you have to remain professional, keep a distance, and not listen to the facts that he's telling you, Darren Cullum. He's shouting at you, the referee. There's two different things in that that player's mind. Then he's not shouting at Darren Cullum. He's shouting at the referee.
Yeah.
You know, and that's any referee, because he could do the same thing next time he plays. You know, and like I say, that's why it's not Darren Cullum. It's just the referee. So we have to be strong. We have to be mentally strong as well as physically, and not see some of this language that goes on and not think it's banter. Just because a player might come up to you after, sorry, ref, it's only a bit of banter. No, I'm sorry.
No, that's not acceptable. No, that is
nothing like that is. And it's very rare, because if a player uses, let's say, industrial language, some people like to call it, and it's ignored by a referee, if he's not going to take action, when will he take action? You know, because players will soon start telling you, well, he said that earlier and you didn't do anything about it.
There's going to be referees that are listening to this now that are perhaps new to refereeing and not quite sure how you should deal with a situation like that, because there were certain members on this particular team that I'm referring to that were quite intimidating. The skipper, who was a brilliant, brilliant player, I can't fault his, but he's one of these that's in your ear all the time, every time the ball was touched, or every time there was a challenge, ref, all the way through the game. And some of his challenges were just on the line, not enough to blow for, but just close to it. But he was very, very chopsy all the way through.
There's times, Dad, when you've got to stop those players doing that.
And I should have used the sin bin. I should have used the sin bin, mate, and I didn't. And that's one of my biggest regrets on that game, on that day. I wasn't sharp enough to get the sin bin out, and I should have done. But that's just like I said, hands up.
If he's in your ear every 2 minutes, then just tell him to back off.
Yeah.
Get out of your face. Get out of my ears. I'm hearing too much from you. And if you don't listen to me, I will take action against you.
Yeah.
You know, action can be one of three things in the current game. And you mentioned the sin bin.
Yeah.
Maybe the dissent is strong enough to say straight away yellow card,
and not
use the sin bin. And if he's putting an expletive in there, if he's calling you an effing idiot or something like that, or cheat or anything like that, he's off.
Yeah,
he is off. That is not acceptable. And for me, I don't want to sound critical about my colleagues anywhere in the world. We have to be strong. We have to deal with this threat that's coming from the players as regards offensive, insulting language. Don't take it as industrial banter. It's not that. It is something that has to be dealt with to keep the image of the game. And you know me, I'm always talking about the image of the game.
Yeah, absolutely.
The image of the game in the profile. I watched 9 7-a-side matches today, and there was no swearing at all. Mm.
So why is that? Why is it that 3,000 miles away, there's no bad language on the field of play, yet you come into the Premiership or you come into any football game in this country and the abuse that is hurled at referees is just ridiculous.
Okay. Football is a passionate game around the world. Let me say to you, the passion around the world, and I'm talking about my part of the world where I am here in Dubai, it's no different to anywhere else. Referees over here get a bit of rabbit in the ear from spectators, but I've not heard the players say too much to the referees. I know it might be a little bit dissent than that, but the respect has to be earned by the referee, but the respect has to be two ways. So, you know, set things up, don't ignore them, don't let them fester, and then all of a sudden in the 85th minute caution him for dissent. Why are you cautioning me for dissent, ref? Well, you've been talking to me all the game. I'm fed up now. That's the problem. When you get fed up and you wait until the 85th minute, that's through a lack of match control. Your match control has got to be strong from the start. If someone's in your ear, if that captain that you talk about, whatever team he was playing for, red, blue or green, just set him up as early in the 5th minute. You'll get to know these players if they're the first time that you refereed these teams, first time you come across this player. You know, you'll get to know, hang on a minute, you're the one that's going to chat to me all the game.
Yeah.
Let's see how you react when I say, hey, I'll control this game, not you, and you will not influence my decision making by appealing.
That is a really good phrase to use. I like that. A really good. You all right?
Sorry,
there, mate?
Yeah.
That's a really, really good phrase to use. I'll control this game, not you. I like that.
That's how, let me say, I learned that from my colleagues, my peers, my refereeing friends in my era. And that became my cliche as regards, let me referee and I'll let you play. If you're not going to listen to me, then I'm going to use the laws of the game against you. Mm. You know, and that's how you protect the image of the game, by telling the players what you're going to do.
Yeah.
Don't threaten them, because that's not the right way to go about it. But make sure that you control it, and control it, positively. Because let me ask you a question about a little bit of development here.
Go on.
When do you think about what you're going to say to players in certain playing situations? Do you wait until match day, or do you think about it during the week?
I know this is something that we have touched on previously, but it's something that when I'm building up to a game a couple of days before, and I'm thinking about it, thinking about how I'm going to approach the game, having done a bit of research on the teams, positions in the leagues, or the cup run they're on, or whatever, then I'll kind of start talking to myself in the van while I'm driving around.
Mm. Well, let me say too, how, you know, not just you, but our listeners as well. How do you practice? When do you practice? I've been watching football on the TV here for the last 6 months, on and off. And I look at situations, and I look at, you know, will he have a word with the rep player or will he not? Will he say something to him? And what will he say? Mm. If I was that referee, if I was that assistant referee, what would I be saying to my colleagues? What would I be saying to the player to keep my match control in a good place? Mm. Because if you don't take a level of control, which involves communication, then the players will start to override you. Mm. And it will fester and it will increase. So it's all about taking control of those situations.
Can I just say, I'm not the only one in the world, and there'll be many others that do exactly the same. And I think they find, I find them very useful, is being part of a referee's WhatsApp group, a selection of your mates that are referees of different levels. You talk about situations, you talk about things that are going on. And the guys in my group, you know all of them very well, and you can learn a lot from it. So what I would say for any new referees that are listening, try and get yourself involved in a WhatsApp group with some of your colleagues that have maybe just started.
You're mentoring each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're mentoring each other. Throw ideas at one another about, well, this happened to me. What do you think? Yeah. You know, have you ever had this happen to you? If you're an inexperienced referee just coming into the game, first season like that, you know, get talking to someone who's been in the game 3 or 4 seasons and, you know, a bit longer even. Find out how to deal with certain things. Find out how you manage situations. And if you should manage situations, maybe it's just straightforward sanction, you know, and, you know, up goes the yellow card. You've blown the whistle hard, stop the game. Excuse me, number 6. That's not good enough today. I'm cautioning you. What's your name? And he'll say, if you know my name, I want to confirm your name. That's what you do. Mm. There are players out there that won't even cross the road to talk to you in a civil way. But they'll tell you what they think about your refereeing. So, you know, it's all about being strong, mentally strong, physically strong. And then we talk about all those other things that link into it as regards body language.
Abuse or banter.
Delivery of abuse or banter. Yeah. That's, you know, that is the catchphrase, isn't it? Because some people will say, oh, it's a bit of banter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't agree that banter does not include effing and blinding at someone and describing them with a 4-letter expletive. That is not banter. That's just not acceptable. I don't do it to my friends in life, and I wouldn't expect it on the field of play.
And here endeth another episode of the Referee's World podcast.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.